I thank God for the Holy Spirit that is in this house today. You know, Pastor's been ministering on the work of the Holy Spirit several weeks, and so this morning I'm going to stay in that vein a little bit. But I know it was holiday weekend, and we are all individuals. I love what the Spirit of the Lord said this morning through tongues and interpretation and a prophetic word to the church. You know, God is waiting on us. He's already done it all. It's already finished. It is finished. And He's waiting on us. And when Jesus went away, He said that when I leave, I'm going to send to you the Comforter. I'm going to send to you the same Spirit that is going to raise me from the dead. I'm going to send it to you. It's going to be your companion. It's going to be with you at all times. And I believe that one of the greatest things that we do and cheat ourselves of is acknowledging and understanding the workings of the Spirit of God, that precious, sweet, Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so we're going to minister a little bit more on that. I appreciate the man of God of this house that God has called as our shepherd. I honor my husband. I honor the anointing that's on his life. And one of the real blessings of my life has been that he knew and he understood the call that God had put on my life. And you know, God has purpose for every one of us, every person that's sitting in here. God has purpose for you. You aren't mistakes. You aren't something or someone that God has forgot about. So today, as we minister the Word of God, I pray that you will take it to yourself. Because we are anointed and we are appointed, every one of us, by God. Anointed and appointed. Our life, I don't care what your life has been up to this day. I pray that a fresh revelation of who you are will come upon you, not because of who you are in the natural, but who He is and who you belong to. And if you've invited Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into your life, and you are a new creation, then your purpose is inside of you. The call of God is in you. And He just wants you to allow Him to work in and through your life. So I believe that God is empowering His people. And I'm excited in some ways that I want to share with you this morning. I've been, you know, it's interesting to me. I always want to encourage those who feel like they're sitting on the sidelines. Have you ever felt like you're sitting on the sidelines? Well, sure you have. We've all felt like that. And I felt like that more times than I would even know how to be honest and say. But during those times when I was on the sidelines, so to speak, God was imparting to me, even in my times where I might have been a little rebellious, I might have been a little moody, I might have been a little poor me, when's my turn, God? But I will say that I've learned more on the sidelines when I understood that God was pouring into my life and teaching me the walk of the Spirit. Because, see, the walk of the Spirit isn't always out front. The workings of the Spirit is in our quietness. It's even in our times when we're alone, when we feel alone. When it seems like the whole world is against us, God is still working things for our good. But I have some good news for you today. So when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we walk and talk just a little bit different. If we don't, if you're not walking a little different and talking, I will say, if your mouth is not saved, let's get it saved today. If you can still use the F word and feel okay about it, you need to talk to Jesus. If you can say GD and be okay with it, there's a problem. If you can say some things that only sinners should be allowed to say, they say it because they're not, their mind's not been renewed. Because they don't know about pulling down that stronghold. They let their language be garbage. But Church of Jesus Christ, today we're changing that. Amen? We're going to get our mouths saved. It should embarrass you when you've embarrassed the Holy Spirit that's in you. This is going to be good. Because when we're filled with the Spirit of God, when we've asked Jesus Christ to come into our heart and into our life, and we meant it, that means the Spirit of God has come into our life. And He's taken up residence. But it's important that we understand who He is. Because, see, we don't want to hide the Holy Spirit. We want to bring Him to the front. We want to love differently than we used to love. We want to have more grace for others than we used to have. We want to have more understanding that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have more compassion than we've ever had in our life. And I believe that God changes us so that when we walk into the room and the presence of God is in our life, there's something different about us. There's a quietness of the Spirit of God, or there's an excitement of the Spirit of God. Because when you and I walk into the room, it should be different than when somebody that has not received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So we're living in a day, we're living in a time today where we should be the abnormal ones that bring normalcy into other people's lives. Because, see, the Holy Spirit, when He came over 2,000 years ago, He descended upon 120 people. We've heard it preached. Pastor, I would encourage you to go back and listen to these messages on the Holy Spirit because they have been so good. But there were 120 people that were praying in the upper room. Do you know that originally it started with 500 people, but 380 got tired? But see, God has always had a remnant. God's always had a people that have a yearning, that have a longing, and know and understand that when God sent His Son Jesus to the earth, it changed everything. And Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter to you. You're never going to be alone. But it wasn't just for one of the disciples, it was for all of the disciples. And it wasn't just for them, nor was it just for the 120 that stayed. And we called it the day of Pentecost. But they were being filled with the Spirit of God. They were empowered not to be part of a denomination, not to be part of a church or a certain tribe of people, but they were anointed to be disciples that went out and spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 1 and 8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How many Christians do we have in the house today? If Jesus lives in your heart today, then you have been filled with the Spirit of God. But we need to not just be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to let that Spirit live out in our life on a daily basis. Because I believe that the most powerful people on this planet are full of the Holy Spirit. It is not a political power. It's not a financial power. It's not a relational power or a social power. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit. The most transforming measure, the most transforming thing that can happen is when the power of the Holy Spirit comes into our life. I'm excited about some things. I'm going to share that with you. And I believe it was in 2023 or 4, I'm not sure, boy, we started having prayer services on a regular basis. We started many years ago, we started having the 21-day fast in January. And But in the last couple of years, not only did we do that, but we started to have prayer services once a month on a Saturday. And then we started having prayer services on Tuesday mornings. And ever so often, we have a week of prayer early in the mornings. But something began to happen when we began to have prayer services. Something began to change in the atmosphere. And I believe that God is doing such a powerful thing. Those prayer meetings were where I learned to pray when I was a little girl. When I was raised up in church, on this side of the platform, there was a little prayer room. And that's where the women went before church and they prayed. On this side, there was a prayer room, and that's where the men went. And they prayed about an hour before service. I would go in that prayer room. I was about 6, 7 years old. And I would kneel. And those women, I'm telling you what, those women of God, they knew how to pray. And they'd be praying and they'd be crying out to God. And I, as a little girl, I'd get on my knees in between them and I'd begin to weep and I'd begin to pray. And they'd begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the next thing you know, I was speaking in tongues and tears were just flowing out of my face. I thank God for those times. I learned how to pray. I learned that there's a closet where I can go. There's a time where I can be just me and God and humble myself before him, and it has changed my life. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about our student ministry. I can't tell you how excited I am about them, from the nursery all the way up through our teens. I'm excited because I know God's doing something. See, prayer changes atmosphere. I saw it all through my life. When I look back and I see, it was a prayer that caused me to survive. It was a prayer in my darkest times when I could do nothing but cry out to him. The Spirit of the living God in me brought something in my life that I can't even explain. It put a cocoon around me and around my children. It protected us. And it brought us into that place of richness in Christ. I'm excited about these juniors up there that they're leading worship. And they're laying their hands and they're praying for each other. I'm excited because, see, it's the prayers of the moms and the dads and the adults. And then those young people. I'm believing a day real soon where we're going to have all kinds of juniors and young people are going to be at our prayer services because God is moving in the spiritual realm. I believe that it's transforming our lives. We don't just have potential. We have power to undo the work of the enemy. As a young girl, I was baptized in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had a experience with God. And as a young one, I would pray in the Spirit. And the more I prayed in the Spirit, the richer he got in me. The next thing you know, I'd pray, give a message in tongues, and I'd interpret it. I'm expecting the same thing. The same Holy Ghost that lived in me is in that upper room, upstairs and downstairs in our children. I'm believing God for a real revival because those are the ones that 20 years from now, they're still going to be around. They're still going to be powerful. That's what I'm believing God for. Would you join up with me today? Would you believe God for that? That our young people are going to be so powerful. Because see, when the Holy Spirit empowers us, he gives us a super upon our natural. And then we can begin to live in the supernatural. Remember, God doesn't have to have a whole lot of people. He can just use a few. I get excited because there's times on Tuesday morning when we have 14, 15 people here. On the Saturdays when we have prayer service, sometimes we'll have 30. It's amazing. I'm telling you, don't stop praying. God's doing something. He's moving into some homes that don't know what to do. You feel lost. You feel like nobody cares. Oh, he cares. And he's hearing the cry Maybe we don't call everybody's name out, but we begin to pray over this service, over our church. I'm telling you, God has been working miracles. He's been turning things around for people that have felt no hope. They didn't know how they were going to get out of their situations. Remember, Gideon and his small group of men. Pastor Darrell talked about Gideon a little bit, and I'm not going to go there, but this was a man that you start reading in Judges chapter 6, and you'll see it. See where he just felt like he was the least of his tribe. God, how could you possibly use me? And you may be sitting in this house and say, God, how can you use me? How could I make a difference? I'm telling you, woman of God, you're powerful. I'm telling you, man of God, you are powerful. You've got something living inside of you that raised Jesus from the dead. And he will quicken those things that's dead in our homes, dead in our lives, if we will give him the opportunity to do so. He fought the battle. Gideon, the least, he fought the battle and he won. You look, it's strategic, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. See, the Holy Spirit, people, we know how to fight. We know how to fight our battles because we have the Word of God. Fight, what does it mean? We don't fight with swords. We don't fight with guns. We don't fight with a post on X. We don't fight with an Instagram message. We don't fight with a Facebook or text messages. That's not how we fight our battles. That's not what we do. But we fight with the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. We have to understand that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Zechariah 4:6 said, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. The Lord of hosts sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person that resides within every one of our lives if we have received him. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's time that we stand up and confront that which was sent to stop you. What is it that has stopped you? See, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of a power and a sound mind. The ability to love when people aren't lovely to us. Given us that ability to go on. What are we afraid of? What shall we fear? Nothing if we have the Holy Spirit working in us. Because greater is he that is in you and I than he that is out in the world. How do we fight our battles? This morning, I believe we fought some battles. I believe that we were raising hallelujahs. I believe that we told our soul, come on. Soul, just stop it. You've been whining and complaining and think about everything negative. Just stop it, soul. Come on, my soul. Come on, my soul. You're in church today. This is the house of the Lord. This is your opportunity to praise. This is your opportunity to worship. Come on, my soul. Rejoice in the Lord because he is mighty. He is strong. He is powerful. We have to talk to our soulish realm. We don't fight through worldly means. We fight prophetically. How do I fight prophetically? Well, I say what the Word says. I just say what the Word says. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is what my Word says. We say what he says about us. We fight our battles with a shout of triumph. There was a few shouts going up this morning. There were a few people that were getting just a little bit excited. You know, when I realized that this, you know, when I began to study for this message, and I thought, oh my Lord, really? On a holiday, and you know how people—they come in. They've been part, you know, they've been celebrating, eating too much, and all that kind of stuff. And we come in, and but you know what? You just jumped right in. You just jumped it because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and there's been a liberty in this house today. We fight with a praise on our lips and worship in our spirit. We praise. We use our mouth. That's how. We fight our battles. We get on our knees and we humble ourselves before God. And we begin to say, God, you are God. Not this situation is not my God. You are my God. You are the one that causes me to triumph. I will not allow that which has come against my home to overtake my home. Because, see, there's breath of God inside of me. Come on, my soul. And I believe that the presence of God is covering us. Not only does his goodness follow me, but I believe that his goodness also covers me. This is how we as a church fight our battles. See, our success is not about what somebody else says about us. It is not. What does God say about you? God says, you're the apple of my eye. He said, I've called you, I've appointed you, and I've anointed you for such a time as this. Solid Rock Church success does not depend on what others say about us. Our success depends on what God says about us. God's appointment. He depends on us to fight our battles with his word. Holy Spirit empowers us to rebuke. Do you know you can rebuke? You think you could? The only rebuking that some people do is at their children or at their husband. Rebuking because he didn't do it right. Pastor Rose has been rebuked a few times. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. You can take it. I've been rebuked a few times. We all have. We all have. But we need to be rebuking the one that's causing the real problem. We need to begin to take our authority that he has given to us. Rebuke means to simply tell the devil to get out of our stuff. We are allowing things that God has already said, I've given you. It's yours. I've put you over your home. I put you over some things. And you're allowing the enemy to come in because you think those other things are your enemy. And they are not. The word of God says that if we will rebuke the devil, but we spend our time rebuking the people around us that are saying and acting in ways that we don't like. But if we'll learn to rebuke the devil, and sometimes we have to rebuke the devil on ourselves. We'll say, come on now, Darlene. You need to just stop it. Is that what the word of God says about this situation? Or will the word of God be active when I begin to say it in the terms of what God means me to use it as? Acts 13:9, Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, stared at Elymas. This was a man full of the devil and using the things of God for the purpose of controlling people. One of the worst things in the world is, and this is free, it's not in my notes, I'm just throwing this out here. Don't be a person that controls other people. If you find yourself controlling other people and trying to get other people to act the way you want them to, let's just stop it. Because controlling others is not of God. Now, your children, that's something else. Paul wasn't speaking to a spirit here, but Paul said, you, the son of the devil, are perverting the truth, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. See, when the enemy comes to your home, he will pervert the truth. He will begin to tell you that it's everybody else's fault, or it's whatever he's telling you. But we need to get to the place where we are a church that is tired of seeing our children being attacked and addicted. I see a turning of the page. And I mean, in the spiritual realm, there's a turning of the page. I believe there are parents that are beginning to stand up and say, huh, devil, you've done enough. You've done enough in my home. You've tormented my child enough. You've tormented our home enough. I will not allow you to continue this. I believe that there are a people in Solid Rock that are saying, enough, Satan, enough. I'm going to quit accusing my wife. I'm going to quit accusing my husband. I'm going to quit accusing this and accusing that. I am going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray through until I break this thing off. Because God gave us that power through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is abiding in us. We need to be a people that will open our mouths to declare and tell the enemy to get out of our homes. He's trespassing. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my body. Sickness, you got to get out. Get out of our schools. See, I believe that God is turning some things around in the school system. I believe it's amazing. See, I'm telling you, there's some pages that are turning. There's pages that are being turned. God's heard our prayers. Parents, I know it's hard not to be discouraged, but God's heard your prayers, and there are pages that are turning. There's some prophetic things that's going to begin to happen in your homes. You're going to begin to see children that were disobedient, children that were rebellious. You're going to begin to see God bringing in a spirit of gentleness. Speak out of your mouth what you want over that child. Ever since Max was a little bitty boy, I have said that he's my gentle giant. And he's gentle and giant in the Lord. He's gentle in spirit and is a giant in the spiritual realm. Begin to say what you want over your household. Begin to speak it, because see, the Holy Spirit is alive. The Holy Spirit wants you to do his bidding. The Holy Spirit wants you to say what Jesus said, because anytime that we lift up the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at work, because he is here to carry out the work of Jesus Christ in our homes and our lives. I see moms and dads that are reactivating the power of God in their homes, and they are telling the devil to stop his lies of the enemy that has come against their children and it come against their grandchildren. I see our kids at home as they go to sleep at night. I can see moms out praying over those children. They finally went to sleep. They wrestle. They have a rough time. Begin to speak the word of God over them. Begin to say, God, I thank you for their rest. I thank you for their peace. You begin to speak blessings over that child. Go ahead and get your anointing oil out and pray over them. See, sometimes we're in a warfare and then we go, well, what's the use? Oh, there's a lot of use. Keep on, because it will change. There is a change coming. See, our children are fighting battles that we don't even understand. But still, God gave them to us. God gave them to us, and the Holy Spirit understands. We don't just have any spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. I know that there's moms and dads in this room today that are fighting for the lives of your children. And we, as a church, I want you to know, parents, we're fighting with you. We're lifting you up in prayer. We're believing for those strongholds to break. We're believing for a change to come in your home. We're believing that the godly home that you're envisioning is coming. Don't give up, parents. Don't give up. That child, when he goes to sleep, maybe he's snoring. Let the enemy know, say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. You get your hands off my daughter. You get your hands off of my son. God gave them to me, and I'm not going to take anything less. We're in a warfare. Our society has been so dysfunctional, and we know that. We look and we see it's been very dysfunctional. It's been upside down. They speak lies for truth. And I don't know if they're convinced they're true or not. I don't know. But I know we can believe a lie and be damned. And I don't know if their hearts are so hard that they really believe the lies they're telling, but I hope not. I hope they feel convicted of it, and I hope they repent. But the Holy Spirit knows, and he lives inside of us. And there's a great awakening happening in some homes. If you will hook on to this, if you'll hook on to this message today, and you will believe it, you will see in the not too distant future some changes in the home. Going to see some things happening in the home. There's been a turn of the pages. Getting ready for a brand new chapter. Some of you homes, we've been praying for years. Some of you parents have been praying for months. You've cried yourself to sleep many a night, not knowing what to do. But the Spirit of the Lord says, I've heard your cry, I've heard your prayers. And there's a change coming in your household. There's a presence of the Almighty God. If you will give Him recognition. And you will believe God. And you will say what the Word of God says. You'll begin to see that the pages are turning. Because see, we can't allow our children to stay in a phase that's going to destroy their life. We can't. We're fighting for them. That's what we do. We're parents. We won't stop. Pastor said something. He's mentioned it a few times. We talked about the Holy Spirit. You know, he's a snitch. You know, he really is. And I always told my children, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't a snitch. And if you are in touch with the Holy Spirit's going to tell you some things. And Tiffy will tell you this. We were in Florida. Daryl and I had gone on a vacation. And we were in Florida. Huh? This is going to be good. But the Lord woke me up one evening about probably 10, 11 o'clock. I don't know. But I knew my daughter was heading for trouble. I knew it. I felt it in it wouldn't let go of me. Would not let go of me. So I got on the phone and I called our house, and there was a girl that was staying with us, and I said, "Where's Tiffany?" She said, "She's not here." I said, "You go find her. You go find her. Find her right now." She did. She went and found her, and Tiffany was about to give away something precious that she could have never gotten back. Thank you, Jesus. But she knew from that day forward that and there was a lot of other snitches the Holy Spirit did. And she's asked me, she'd say, "Mom, how do you know?" I'm like, "I'm not going to tell you how I know." Huh? She's almost 50 and she still doesn't know. "Just tell me now." That's what she says. "Please tell me." But that's what the Holy Spirit will do. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. Parents, we just need to engage. We just need to say, "Okay, Holy Spirit, I trust you." And we're going to do everything we can. We're going to do everything we can to stay in touch with the Spirit of God. We're going to walk in the Spirit. We don't walk like everybody else. We don't talk like everybody else. We have a communion. See, I know without a shadow of doubt when I pray, God hears my prayers. Because He said, "Ask me." He said, you know, that I can ask Him. I have not because I don't ask or I ask amiss. But if I ask according to His word, then I have a knowing. I don't have to wonder if God's answering my prayers. I know He is. And He's bringing it in His time and His way, and it will be right. But I'm just telling you, there's an excitement. We have to be like Shammah, who refused to let the enemy steal one more crop. Shammah, every year the Israelites would put out their plants. They would put out their gardens. They would put out what sustained them. And just when it got ready to that crop to come in, then the enemy would come in and steal. That's the same enemy working today. He comes in immediately. But there come a time where Shammah said, no. Mm-mm. You stole the last crop from me. You're going to steal. And that's the kind of tenaciousness we have to have about our marriages. That's the kind, I know you've been hurt, and I know it hurts, and I know you've been let down, and I know it stinks. But I also know that there's a God that heals. I know there's a God that will take the broken pieces of our life. He does know how to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I found that out. He can do it. Only God can do it, but He can do it. Worship team, would you come? It's not time for us to stay still. It's not time for us to stay quiet. Church, it's time for us to say what the Word of God says. It's time for us to rebuke. It's time for us to reject. And it's time for us to refuse what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. I believe there's awakening of the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ. I believe it. The prophetic word. You know, we prayed for a long time for the prophetic word of God to come back into this house. And that we will be wise and know how to entertain the presence of God. How we will honor him the way that he should. It's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ who lives in me. If what you see is not lining up with the dreams that God had for you, begin to prophesy the word over those dreams. We are what we tolerate. We have to be committed to every part of our life, because see, the enemy will lie. He has lied to you so much. Oh, he is good at it. He lies. He can't do anything but lie. That's all he knows. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's a lie. And why do we listen, children of God? Why do we listen? You know, the prophetic word that went out today says, you know, we're tolerating things. There's a sacrifice. What's the sacrifice? You know, it really is a sacrifice, but it's not a sacrifice. In comparison to what Jesus did for us, it's not a sacrifice for me to raise my hands and praise him. It's not a sacrifice to give him the glory that he deserves. It's not a sacrifice when I have to say, I repent. I repent for my actions. I repent for my attitudes. I repent for allowing the enemy to bombard my mind instead of allowing the Spirit of God. Because see, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are the righteousness. We know we're the righteousness of God in Christ. And that we have resurrection power within us. New power. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. There is freedom. If we don't have freedom in our hearts, freedom in our homes, that's because we've not allowed the Spirit of the Lord to reside and to be in ownership of our homes. I know that the Holy Spirit is greater than what we feel. I felt a lot of things in my life. A lot of things. Even in the last few days, in the last few weeks. But what I know is so different from what I feel. And I have to cast down every imagination that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Because see, I know in my spirit, man, I know. But when I get in my head, I only know those evil thoughts that I allow to run through there. But according to the word of God, we can cast down every imagination and everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of the word of God. See, we're a word church. Every church should be a word church. Because it's the word of God that changes our life. It's the word of God that sets us free. It's the word of God that we stand on. We're not victims, but we're victorious. See, free people know their rights. Free people know their rights. We live in America. We say we know we have rights. We know our rights, but do we know our rights? Do we know our rights as a children of the Most High? Children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do we know our rights? Do we know what the Bible says about us? I praise the way I praise because Jesus has set me free. How about you? We can't let our thoughts bind what God has already set free. Today, we've turned in over a page, right? We're turning over a page. I believe right now, chains of bondages of the mind. I don't have to scream. I don't have to holler. I believe in the name of Jesus that chains are coming off minds today. They've been in your home way too long. The disrespect that we show to our husbands or to our wife or our children to us needs to stop. And then those things that our children are dealing with, we begin to take authority in the natural, of course, but the spiritual is going to do a whole lot more than we can ever do in the natural. I'm telling you, parents, you're going to begin to see some pages turn. If you hook up with this today, you're going to see some pages turn in your homes. Those things you've been believing God for a long time. But you've got to get in agreement with the Word of God. I pray that a new baptism of the Holy Spirit fall on this house today. And whatever ropes the Philistines, just like they did to Samson, when he stood up one more time, will you stand up one more time? And will you allow the presence of God? You can stand up literally. That's fine too. I'm talking also about the spirit man inside of you. Will you stand up? And will you declare what the Word of God says? We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Your children are not your enemy. And children, your parents are not your enemy. Your parents are not your enemy, children. Teenagers, your parents are not your enemy. They are not your enemy. Thank you, Father. We fight prophetically daily with the Word of God coming out our mouth. We fight our battles with the voice of the Lord. We fight our battles with the song of the Spirit from our lips, and we continually praise, we worship Him. We fight our battles, we fall to our knees and say, God, I trust you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. We humble ourselves. And then we declare the word of the Lord. And in the middle of chaos, God knows how to stop the storm. The Holy Spirit empowers us to rebuke. Some in this house, you feel so broken. Do you know that broken doesn't mean that you're not blessed? Brokenness doesn't negate how blessed we are. I'm going to read a scripture, and this scripture, I'm reading it out of the Message. I'll just read it out. I believe it's a prophetic word to all of us. I really believe it, and I've shared it with several people because it just stood out one morning when Tiffany and Chris and I were having Bible study together. But it's Amos 9:13 out of the Message. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off of the mountains and hills. First thing he says, I will exceed all you expect. What are you expecting? Are you expecting the goodness of God? Are you expecting things to change? Or are you just satisfied for them not to be? That's up to you. But he's saying to us, I will exceed all you expect. And then the second thing, he says, I will increase all you invest. And then the third thing it says in that scripture is, I will accelerate time to accomplish my kingdom's purpose through your life. That's a good word. Amen? That's what the Lord says into this house today. And I believe that. If you're here in this house today, and this message spoke to you at all, if you know that you're anointed and appointed, because you've been on a journey and it hasn't been easy, and there's times where you just felt like giving up, there were times where you thought, God, I can't keep doing this. It's time that we get past the, I'm hanging in there, I'm making it. No, it's time that we get to the place where we see that God is working things out for our good. When somebody says, how you doing? Said, God's working things out for my good. How are you doing today? Well, I'm on my way to victory because God has already gave it, and I'm on my way to get it because I'm going to take back. I don't just want back what the enemy stole, but I want back the sevenfold return. Every day that my health has kept me down, I want increase of good health. Because we as children of God have got to fight back. But today, if this word has ministered to you at all, did you say yes to either one of those songs? You didn't know either one of them? Okay. We're still going to sing them, okay? You'll be just fine, because I know Krista knows them, and there's a few other that may know them, so we're still going to. And we got a drummer who knows how to, he'll get it, and the bass player, it's going to be just fine. But if you've been in the house today, and this word has spoke to you, I'm just going to ask you all just to come up. We're going to sing a couple songs here in a minute. They're going to be, it's going to be proclamation, basically. We're going to sing some proclamation here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray over you when you, those of you that want to come. If you don't, it's okay. Don't feel, it's totally fine. You don't have to feel like, oh, well, I'm, because it really is okay. You can pray from where you're at. But see, there is a real Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. And it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us, comforts us, and he points to Jesus at all the time. Because see, if we're in love with Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is present. Because he does what Jesus did. Only he can touch all of us. Father, I thank you. I thank you today for your word. I thank you for this group of people. God, today there's pages that are turned. And I understand that not everyone feels that way. But God, those that's getting hold of it, we're going to hear. We're going to hear soon some reports. Because God, I know this was a prophetic word today. Some even had their minds made up, and God, this message is contrary to what their minds made up. Total contrary, but it's your word. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We rejoice in you today. We rejoice in you today. We thank you for it.